and welcome to episode 4 of Strong Style History, where we try to make sense out of historical New Japan Pro Wrestling. I am the host, Jeffrey Wessel. With me today is my co-host, Lawrence O'Brien.
Hello.
We are part of the Strong Style Story podcast, which you can find at strongstylestory.podomatic.com or on iTunes by searching Strong Style Story podcast. We also run the regular blog at strongstylestory.tumblr.com, and you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. Lawrence can be found at @LOB_3.
Oh man, plugging me for me. I'm so spoiled. just
this once.
Oh my goodness.
On March the 6th, 2017, New Japan Pro Wrestling held their 45th anniversary show. The main event of that show was the current IWGP heavyweight champion, Kazuchika Okada, defeating Tiger Mask W in a 27-minute classic. Now, Tiger Mask W is but the latest in a long line of wrestlers who have donned the persona of Tiger Mask, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today, the complete history of Tiger Mask in 60 minutes or less. Now, before we go on, we're discussing quite a number of wrestlers on this, and with the nature of the Tiger Mask character, there are all sorts of spin-offs and parodies and what have you of Tiger Mask. We are really only concentrating on the actual wrestlers who were Tiger Mask. Lawrence, if you're ready to begin, I'm ready to go too.
I'm ready, brother. This is actually a very exciting topic to me. So,
Tiger Mask started life as a character in a comic series called Tiger Mask, in a series written by Ikki Kajiwara, who was pretty much one of the godheads of sport manga. He did quite a number of other sports-related comics in his career, but this is probably one of the more famous ones. He also did Asha no Joe and Star of the Giants, which was a baseball manga, Asha no Joe being one of the quintessential boxing manga. Kajiwara did not draw the series. That was that honor fell to Naoki Tsuji. It was first published from 1968 to 1971 in Bukura magazine, published by Kodansha, and was later moved to Weekly Shonen from 1970 to 1971. The show was also adapted to an anime, which ran from October the 2nd, 1969, until September 30th, 1971, at 105 episodes in total. So a pretty successful series altogether. Now, how did we come from here from there to here? Well, in the early 1980s, New Japan Pro Wrestling actually got the license for the Tiger Mask character, and they put a young junior heavyweight wrestler named Satoru Sayama into the costume of Tiger Mask.
And Sayama had previously been in England and worked as Sammy Lee at his excursion, and he came back, and that's what they had ready for him.
And and it kind of caught like wildfire.
Oh shit! No kidding.
He would travel the world as Tiger Mask. For example, in the U.S., he was the first wrestler to hold both the WWF Junior Heavyweight Champion and the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship at the same time. That's kind of a huge deal.
Yeah, that was an interesting time where Vince still like had kind of like the smaller guys still he had a place for those guys, and it was a very interesting little time period there in the Fed, and we ended up receiving in between the Fed and New Japan some absolute classics between him and one Dynamite Kid.
Yes, Dynamite Kid would be probably his most famous opponent. Of course, Tom Billings, the people of a certain age would maybe know him more as part of the British Bulldogs, but he was a well accomplished singles wrestler as well, pretty innovative in his own right.
Oh yeah.
But some of his other more famous feuds as Tiger Mask was against the New Japan stalwart Kuniaki Kobayashi.
Yeah.
Gentleman Chris Adams.
Oh man, I gotta watch some of those Chris Adams matches because I haven't really seen those, and I think those would be. And he also when Mark Rocco was playing Black Tiger. Yeah, those were some good matches too.
Right, and Bret Hart was also one of Tiger Mask's greatest opponents as well.
Early on,
the
that's
Hitman,
right.
As well as let's not forget Fishman from Mexico.
Yeah.
It can't be stated enough how classic the matches between Sayama as Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid were. I mean, these were trend-setting classics, basically.
Yeah, they were doing something at that time nobody else was doing, and I mean, it was like just mind-blowing stuff for 1983. You know, 82, 83. It was just like just nuts, or it was just people did not see that type of stuff at that point in time in wrestling. And
right.
It was, yeah, it was groundbreaking.
It really was. But then, after spending 3 years as Tiger Mask, both in New Japan and in the WWF as well, in 1983, he left New Japan. He said he was sick of the backstage politics.
Yeah, Sayama is an odd cat, man. Like Sayama marches to the beat of his own drum, and he's always been like that. He just kind of bounced around wherever he wanted to. He did what he wanted, that's for sure. In his career, he always had like his issues with people. It seemed like, and he kind of, like I said, he marched to the beat of his own drum a lot.
which is fine. I mean, there's something to be said for that. But yeah, but he left when. So he quit New Japan when it seemed like he was in his prime. Inactive for nearly a year, he was training other fighters in martial arts.
Yeah, he loved MMA, man. Like he's one of his true love.
He's probably one of the founding fathers of it when you look at it, because he came back as part of the original UWF in Japan in 1984. Now by this time, New Japan had lost the license to Tiger Mask, so Sayami was forced to either go as the Tiger, in which he looked pretty remarkably similar to the Tiger Mask character, or he used his real name, Satoru Sayama, or he would go as Super Tiger in a silver and purple gear during this time. But of course, the UWF itself didn't really last beyond 1985, and once again Sayama left because of a match that led to a shoot with one of the other founders of the UWF, Akira Maeda.
It's like one of those, like, yeah, very famous incidents.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Oh yeah, that was bad.
And so Sayama left would end up leaving the UWF after basically getting kicked in the groin, by Maeda. And let's just say Akira Maeda, if you look at his history, he's not really the nicest guy.
No, he is not. Nah, far from it.
So yeah. So So from there, Sayama would retire again. He left professional wrestling altogether, and he really became the guy that really despised worked matches. In fact, he kind of repopularized the term kayfabe, which we all kind of bandy about now. But he was the one who was bringing it out as this grand secret. In fact, he wrote a book called Kayfabe.
Oh,
in
my
which
goodness.
He exposed the secrets of the business to Japan.
But
in 1986, he found a group called Shooto, which is one of the one of the proto MMA organizations alongside groups like Pancrase, which also came from former UWF folk. So really, it's that legacy for Sayama, which now he uses Tiger King as his main gimmick for Tiger Mask. And he now runs Real Japan Pro Wrestling, which he founded in 2005 as Super Tiger.
Yep. Yeah, the Real Japan is certainly an interesting promotion.
it really kind of is.
That notable champion recently was Daisuke Sekimoto.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Who's his champion now? Is it Funaki or?
I believe it is Masakatsu Funaki, yeah, if I am not mistaken. The last time I remember, I believe it is. Oh no, I think it's actually Otani now.
Shinjiro Otani. Okay, another former, another former New Japan.
Yep.
So yeah, it's So Sayama definitely lived a very interesting life and career in the business, and I guess if you look at him, you could really say he was, along with the likes of Funaki and Akira Maeda and Minoru Suzuki, as one of the founding fathers of modern MMA in that respect. So
yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. Sayama was like such a huge proponent of that, and it's just pretty crazy to see he was really one of the founding fathers of mixed martial arts, and it's like. That's really where his heart was his whole time, and
right.
That's really what he wanted to do. Like he just got so sick of how things went down in the wrestling world. And, he wanted that feeling of real, He had that, he just had that, that he just wanted to do that. That's just what he wanted.
Yeah. So as I mentioned when Sayama was helping to form the UWF in 1984, New Japan had lost the Tiger Mask license. Well, that was purchased by New Japan's biggest rival, All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Mm.
And in August 1984, we had a second generation Tiger Mask come up. I think one that most people probably have heard of, a junior heavyweight by the name of Mitsuharu Misawa.
Yeah, pretty good wrestler.
Yeah, he was kind of okay. Misawa himself would wrestle as Tiger Mask from August of 1984 until May of 1990. Ironically, some of his biggest feuds as Tiger Mask would also involve Kuniaki Kobayashi and Dynamite Kid, but he would also wrestle the likes of Chavo Guerrero Sr. and another junior heavyweight by the name of Atsushi Onita.
Yep. Oh, back when Onita didn't do, his form of wrestling.
Yeah, back when Onita was a pro wrestler, yes.
And the thing is, a lot of people kind of, they don't realize sometimes, that Misawa worked such a completely different style when he had the mask on. Like, he wrestled a much more junior heavyweight style than he ever did in post-1990.
Oh, yes. And and eventually in 1986 he would graduate up to the heavyweight division. And
he had a really good match with Under the Mask when he came back from Mexico against his trainer who I believe Fierro, I want to say.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
And it was a great match. La Fiera trained him down there in Mexico, and he when he came back, he had a really, really, really good match, and I definitely would seek that out when you can. There's also, believe it or not, there's a match of him versus Teddy Biase floating out there on YouTube as well. So though that's another one you definitely probably want to check out.
So in the meantime, in 1986, Misawa would graduate up to the heavyweights, and he would wrestle unsuccessfully against the likes of Jumbo Tsuruta and Genichiro Tenryu. And yeah. In fact, on April the 13th, 1990, in which your humble host was turning 17 at the time, at a joint WWF, New Japan, and All Japan Super Show in the Tokyo Dome, Misawa wrestled Bret Hart to a time limit draw at that match. But then later, Tenryu would suddenly up and leave. Genichiro Tenryu would suddenly up and leave All Japan to go help form, Super World of Sports.
Sponsored by the sunglasses.
Yes, exactly. So from there, Baba made a fateful decision to make Misawa into his new star. So in the middle of a match on May the 14th, 1990, Tiger Mask and Toshiaki Kawada Tiger Mask and Toshiaki Kawada against Samson Fuyuki and Yoshiaki Yatsu. In the middle of the match, Misawa had his partner, Kawada, unmask him. So he abandoned the Tiger Mask gimmick in the middle of this match, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yep, completely. Complete turning point for the man's whole career.
So, but it's interesting because this is the only period of time in which the Tiger Mask character would have nothing to do with New Japan.
Yep.
It's almost seen as an aberration, but, you know, it's become one of those things where, you know, nearly everybody who ever donned the actual Tiger Mask became a legend in their own right. So as we'll keep going. So meanwhile, Tiger Mask ended in May of 1990. We went for about 2 years without a Tiger Mask in anybody's ring, until in March of 1992, New Japan got the license back, and they placed the honor of becoming the third Tiger Mask on Koji Kanemoto. You know, classic junior in New Japan. In fact, he was wrestling today in Germany as we record this. He was wrestling at the WXW 16 Karat.
Oh, that's event. Right. That's right. I forgot he was booked for that. 100%. That's right. I completely forgot about that.
So Kanemoto became Tiger Mask in March of 1992. Unfortunately, he never really ascended to the heights as the character that the likes of Sayama and Misawa did, because, ironically, of another wrestler who was also based on an anime comic character in Keiichi Yamada, aka Jushin Thunder Liger.
Kind of was stealing the thunder a little bit at that time.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Arguably, so. Possibly, could make the argument that maybe Liger did a better job than Tiger Mask of taking the whole anime manga tie-in character and breathing, you know, far more life into it than it really maybe should have.
Yeah, kind of. It really did. Yeah. The first Tiger Mask did work, you know, and then after the period there where you know, it just Misawa, you know, had it, it just didn't really. It just wasn't working for him, you know, either.
Yeah, it never really took off for Koji Kanemoto, and in fact, and in fact, when he was never able to win any titles as Tiger Mask, and he would eventually do a lucha de apuestas against Liger in a Mascara contra Mascara match in January of 1994. Which, if you see the footage after he unmasks, he basically throws it at Liger.
Yeah,
like as an FU to Liger, you know.
Yeah, he was done. He was just done with that gimmick. he wanted to wear those black tights and just shoot on people. You know, like that's just, he knew that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, and fair enough. I mean, it wasn't like Kanemoto was bad at his Tiger Mask. Not far from it, but it just, you know, the period of time, it just didn't work for him because, you know, Jushin Liger was just so far and beyond where Kanemoto was at that time. Mm-hmm. That you just can't, you just couldn't.
Yeah, it was interesting though. He's kind of the forgotten guy, really, a lot in the Tiger Mask lineage. I mean, besides number five, but we'll get to that.
we will definitely get to that because I have to confess, I completely forgot about him.
But yeah, like Kanemoto kind of gets he isn't like really remembered really a whole lot sometimes as the Tiger Mask kid, because it's just, he just didn't really do much as Tiger Mask. Even Misawa is known a little more as the Tiger Mask, you know, former, but...
Well, right, because Misawa, I think, was the one who innovated the Tiger Driver, and, you know, right. Tiger Driver 91, for that matter, you know, mm-hmm. you know, which, yeah, so, I mean, there was a lot more, I think there was a lot more innovation by Sayama and Misawa while they were under the masks.
Yeah, but Kanemoto, you know, he had his idea of what he wanted to do, and he didn't really, like, I don't think he didn't really embrace that gimmick too well. And because, like I said, he knew what he was good at and what he wanted to do, and he wanted to shoot, you know. That's,
yeah, and you know, that's kind of how that went, and that didn't fly with, you know, the juniors under, you know, under Liger.
Yeah, know, which... no, it in the junior division at the time, really, besides Liger, drifted away from that cartoony stuff. It was black tights and, you know, we're gonna, you know, work each other. You know, that was the kind of the attitude during that time. So
right.
It just didn't fit Kanemoto.
Yeah, it really didn't fit Kanemoto. I think, you know, you when you see Kanemoto hit his best, it's against wrestlers like, you know, Tatsuhiro Takaiwa.
I mean, obviously, like, even like all Samurai and stuff, and, you know,
Which, again, it's not to say that Kanemoto had bad matches against Liger, you know, as Tiger Mask or otherwise. It's just the Tiger Mask gimmick really just did not suit him.
No,
you know, in what, you know, the kind of wrestler he was and what he wanted to do. And, yep. You know, so really, you know, again, I think this is the rare, I mean, he was the least served time. I think he only lasted, he lasted less than 24 months as Tiger Mask.
Yeah, it was less than 2 years. Yeah, that's for sure.
And it just didn't work for whatever reasons, you know.
Yep.
So, and here we are. So, but, so, once again, we had a gap of time for Tiger. You know,
not
with,
long,
there's not very long, because in 1995, a gentleman by the name of Yoshihiro Yamazaki.
The first officially endorsed Tiger Mask under Sayama.
Tiger Mask 4 was actually trained and endorsed by Satoru Sayama, and oddly enough did not start in New Japan.
Nope.
He began his tenure as Tiger Mask in Michinoku Pro, at the time, kind of a niche Lucha Libre-inspired indie promotion that, you know, would take off around the world, partially on the back of appearances on ECW pay-per-views and through the game WCW NWO World Tour, because half the roster ended up in that game.
Michinoku Pro really was very much a game changer in the world of wrestling at that time. I mean, they really were like the inspiration of that, the embracing the lucha and puro like fusion, and which would end up being perpetuated more in Toryumon, and then obviously later than that, Dragon Gate.
Right.
And so you know, Yamazaki was involved in a couple of those really interesting matches in Michinoku Pro days, like the big Kai and Tai Deluxe matches. I know he was in one of those.
Yes.
And which was, those were a couple of those matches were the ones that were getting the big buzz around that time, and that's what kind of got those guys bookings elsewhere and even in WWF.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, he was, you know, he was definitely siding with the Technicos, you know, usually teaming with Great Sasuke.
Yep.
And Jinsei Shinzaki in Michinoku Pro. But he eventually, and even though, you know, he even survived a time period where Michinoku Pro was invaded by imposters. So we had Sasuke the Great, Masked Tiger.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yep. And Masked Tiger, of course, was Takeshi Ono of Battle Arts. If you remember, all remember that promotion.
Battle Arts, my God.
In any event, Tiger Mask 4 eventually would end up in New Japan, however. In 2002, he signed to New Japan. And he's pretty much been there ever since. And they usually like to say that he was going to be the successor to Liger because Liger was aging out and that sort of thing. I don't really think that really happened for Tiger Mask 4, even though he's still under that mask and he's still acting as Tiger Mask. I'd say he's the longest served, possibly the least notable of all of them.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I take that. Okay, wait. I take that back because there's Tiger Mask 5. So.
But, oh, yeah.
But, right. I mean, he at this point, Tiger Mask 4 is seen as like kind of a veteran journeyman now rather than the bright new hope of the.
Absolutely. From it. Oh, yeah. Man, it's pretty crazy. Like, when you look at it now, a lot of people don't realize, like, how good he was.
He was very good time. In Michinoku Pro. I mean, he was fantastic in Michinoku Pro.
And even early on, you know, in his first few years in New Japan, the guy can go still, man. He was good. He won two Best of the Super Juniors in a row.
Right.
As well. And almost won a third one, fell short against Tanaka in that third one. But he made the finals 3 years in a row, the Best of the Super Juniors. So, they were high on him.
That
time, it was just unfortunately during a time of New Japan where the business was just absolutely in the toilet bowl and not many people were paying attention. So he kind of got a raw deal in that regard. Yamazaki had some really good matches. One of my, you know, favorites I've seen from him very recently was the 06 Best of the Super Junior Final against Minoru Tanaka. That's an absolute must watch. Like, if you haven't seen it, if you're a person that's kind of down on Tiger Mask, like watching him like in these opening matches and stuff, and you kind of get on him, I go watch that match, man. You'll see exactly how good that guy was at one time. And you know, it's just sometimes age and you know, things catch up to you and you just don't work as hard as you used to. And you can see how good he was at that time period.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really don't think that he was ever bad by any stretch. But, yeah, I think time has gotten the better of him at this point. And like I said, even though he's still, you know, at 22 years and counting as Tiger Mask, I mean, he's definitely the longest served. But and he's definitely won his share of titles. I mean, he has won, you know, the IWGP Junior title, six times. He's been a Junior Tag Champion with Jushin Liger. Won two consecutive Best of Super Juniors in 2004 and 2005. But as you said, that was also kind of during the down period of New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's been GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Champion in Noah twice, one time with Koji Kanemoto, ironically, and the other one with Jushin Liger. I mean, he has been he's been around. I mean, he won, you know, several titles in Michinoku Pro as well.
Yeah, him and Misawa were really the two, like, Tiger Masks with the more, like, they had the more, like, the lucha, like, background with them. Because, you know, like, you had, obviously, Misawa going to EMLL on his excursion. And then, you know, obviously in Michinoku Pro, you know, Sasuke taught him a lot of the lucha stuff him and Hamada, you know, that they were preaching at that time. So they were kind of the more Lucha influenced Tiger Mask, whereas, you know, Sayama and Kanemoto were a lot more shooters than those two.
Yeah, definitely. Sayama and Kanemoto were definitely, and I think they were, you know, Sayama was still trying to be, you know, as close to, you know, Tiger Mask as envisioned by Ikki Kajiwara, you know, because, I mean, the character was still highly popular, obviously. Otherwise, I don't think New Japan would have bothered trying to license the character, you know, 10 years after the fact. So, it's, so here, that's where we are. Tiger Mask 4, still in New Japan. You see him, you know, pretty much on every show, usually in opening matches. Sometimes he'll get a highlight spot. You know, he will, you know, more than likely feature in this year's Best of Super Juniors.
He had a pretty great dive this morning.
Did. On the New Japan Cup show from March the 12th.
Yeah, I was like, oh wow, there's that old, you know, the old abilities there coming out for a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh wow.
So meanwhile, as we're researching,
there's another weird thing though.
I forgot that there was actually a Tiger Mask 5.
Oh no, I remembered. It's always something that makes me laugh. Like, just to this day, it's one of the funniest things. Like,
Tiger Mask 5 was a former MMA fighter named Ikuhisa Minoa.
Yeah, another guy Sayama loved, you know, I'm a shooter.
After he was done with MMA, he went to Antonio Inoki's Inoki Genome Federation, which we can debate the pro wrestling versus worked MMA merits of that promotion, you know, in a promotion where Necro Butcher is working. On July the 18th, 2010, Minoa, who at one time was working as Minoa Man, became the fifth generation Tiger Mask. Now, since you have a much better memory of this than I do, maybe you should take it from here, Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much to say. I mean, the guy he got donned the gimmick, and then he just never did anything with it. I mean, they gave him the gimmick, you know, he debuted with Sayama in a match and everything, and then it's just he never really went to do pro wrestling. That was the problem. He just stopped really doing pro wrestling. So he just never used the gimmick. It just sat in perpetuity, you know, for like a long time, and he just never is going to do anything with it, clearly. So it's pretty much like null and void at this point. Like, it's pretty much no hope of that, of 5 ever being a thing. Like, you almost wonder if it's, like, going to get stricken from the record books one day. Like, is it, like, really ever going to remain official? Like, it's one of those weird things, those really weird, weird, like, instances in professional wrestling where it's, like, you just don't know, like, what the hell, like, they'll do with this. Like, especially since when's, like, you know, it's almost like, you almost gotta like forget 5 exists, like, because now Kota Ibushi is like, you know, kind of taking that, like, the reins now. So
right. Well, and it's funny that, you know, if you go back and research this, there was an American wrestler going by the name of Tretch Phillips Jr., who actually wrestled it. You know, he actually claimed himself to be Tiger Mask 5, but obviously this wasn't official.
Oh, like the Tengen version of Tetris.
Yeah, kind of like that, yes. By the way, there's a great graphic novel by Box Brown about that whole affair. Very well worth reading. There has been several unofficial Tiger Mask 5s out there as well. But the next official Tiger Mask, as Lawrence kind of already spoiled, is the most current one, and really had nothing to do with Satoru Sayama, but rather circled back around to its origins as an anime and manga character, because a new Tiger Mask anime series debuted in 2016, Tiger Mask W, and along with it, a new Tiger Mask wrestler appeared on October the 10th of 2016 at the King of Pro Wrestling event at Tokyo Sumo Hall at Ryogoku Kokugikan. And as we kind of already said, this was portrayed by a former NJPW and DDT wrestler who had just at the time denied WWE his signature on a contract after becoming one of the standouts of the Global Cruiserweight Classic. And in fact, we can almost make it an argument that really they kind of held this tournament just to debut Kota Ibushi.
Yeah. Yep, kind of did.
But Kota Ibushi returned to New Japan rings as Tiger Mask W in a match in which he beat the character of Red Death Mask, who was being portrayed by Juice Robinson.
Yep.
On that show. He's wrestled three other times as Tiger Mask W now. The second match was a well-regarded one from Wrestle Kingdom 11, not 25. It was the 25th Dome show, but Wrestle Kingdom 11. Against ACH as Tiger the Dark, who is the newest version of Black Tiger. You know, who's always been the evil twin character in all these various Tiger Mask incarnations. And we're talking Black Tigers have been, you know, everybody from Mark Rocco to Eddie Guerrero to Rocky Romero.
Oh, yeah.
Under that. Of course, you know, former New Japan wrestler Tatsuhiro Takaiwa was also a Black Tiger.
That's right.
As was most recently in 2010, Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh, wow. New Japan. I missed that.
Very briefly a Black Tiger, yes. But anyway, back to Tiger Mask W. And again, this was really to promote. This was the first time, though, that it was actively promoting a current running series. Whereas when Sayama was Tiger Mask, the show had been over for 10 years. And the comic had been as well. So recently, Tiger Mask W returned for two matches, won a tag team match against, teaming with Tiger Mask 4, as it happens, against Kazuchika Okada and Gedo, and then against Okada in singles at the New Japan 45th anniversary show that just happened last week on March the 6th. So really, the Tiger Mask gimmick has kind of come full circle in that respect.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because you know now it's kind of being derived from the show again. Is it more? Because a lot of people probably forgot a lot. You know, kind of people forgot the origins and stuff, and now you know it's kind of being put forth again what it really came from in the first place, and like and how they're connecting it to the show in real time, kind of. So it's interesting the way they're doing that.
Yeah, and in fact, they were mentioning that it's been mentioned that especially in the Tiger Mask versus Tiger the Dark match from Wrestle Kingdom, there were actually performed sequences that was out of the anime.
That's interesting, though. Like, that's tricky. That's tough to do. To like choreograph that, you know, that's pretty impressive.
It is kind of tough to do, but I mean the caliber of wrestlers that were in there. We all know that ACH is an anime fan. I mean, he comes to the ring cosplaying as Luffy from One Piece and Goku from Dragon Ball.
Yeah, they were literally talking about today when he was in up there in Germany there and. At the show is like when they were like everyone was partying like crazy. I guess he was talking about like, yeah, I'm a complete nerd. That's why I don't get women.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that, ACH.
That's why I'm single because they see Japanese figures in my room and they think I'm weird. Like it's okay. It's okay.
It is what it is.
I have a Samurai Jack and like Virtua Fighter. You know, figurines in my room, so I understand.
So
and like plush animals and yeah.
And you know, there's a few odds and ends here for Tiger Masks as well. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, unofficial Tiger Masks. Like, for example, in 1971, back in the days of the Japan Pro Wrestling Alliance, back before New Japan and All Japan, the wrestler Samson Kutsuwada actually portrayed Tiger Mask on a tour of South Korea. And there's all sorts of other things. Like we've mentioned, there were, you know, all sorts of black tigers, and you know, there was, you know, Masked Tiger that Takeshi Ono portrayed in Michinoku Pro.
He had Super Tiger 2 now in Real Tiger Japan. Super Tiger
2 now, yeah, in Sayama's own Real Japan promotion. Yeah. Sayama even gave his blessing to a female character, Tiger Dream, which was portrayed by, you know, Joshi wrestler Kenji Otsuka, or Akutsu, excuse me, during the mid-1990s, and she too had some training from both Sayama and Tiger Mask 4.
I forgot Tiger's Mask is also out there too.
In Osaka Pro, yes.
Indy Sleaze, legend.
In Osaka Mask. Pro. Yeah, it's similar to Tiger Mask, although he's supposed to be a fan of the Hanshin Tigers baseball team, one of the biggest teams in Japanese baseball. So he portrays that. And, of course, there's also a Black Tigers character in Osaka Pro.
Yeah, Maruyama has been so many different, like, gimmicks, though. Maruyama's done, like, way too many masked gimmicks for his own good, like, at this point in his career. Eagles mask, Keisatsu man, oh, yeah, it's like he's been...
Does he even know who he is anymore? He's worn so many masks, does he even know who he is?
Yeah, Maruyama is just, like, he just has an identity crisis, I think, these days.
But I mean, if you go down this, I mean, even Ricky Fuji of FMW, Ricky Fuji at one point had a Tiger Mask persona called Calgary Tiger, because he was, you know, trained and debuted in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Amazing.
And in fact, he debuted as Tiger Mask in Stampede, but then he changed it to Black Tomcat. Probably because of, you know, I'm sure lawsuits were pending.
Stu didn't want to pay the bills.
Yeah. Stu Hart didn't want to pay those legal fees, so.
Oh god.
But I mean, what can we say about the legacy of the Tiger Mask character? I mean, we've seen one of the we discussed one of the biggest legacies is that it opened the door for Jushin Liger.
Oh yeah, it was a character. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, there have been and will be other, you know, cartoon or anime or comic book based wrestlers out there. I mean, officially licensed or otherwise. I mean, at this point, it's almost like a staple of the indies. I mean, now you have. The Yapper Man in Michinoku Pro, which is a parody of another cartoon. I can't remember the name of it offhand, but they look virtually the same as those characters from the cartoon that still perform in Michinoku Pro. And then, of course, you know, you have, you know, the Brahmins, who are, you know, living cartoon characters. In Michinoku in Big Japan. I don't think the lineage is going to end with Yamazaki and or Ibushi at this point. I mean, I think I can almost see, like, you know, 10, 15 years down the line, somebody else is going to do, you know, Tiger Mask 7.
I really don't know, like what's going to happen in the future. I kind of wonder, like, how does Yamazaki feel about this whole situation? Like, I'm curious, like, what he's, like, feeling.
I think because it is a direct tie to the anime. I mean, because if you remember, I mean, up until recently, Ibushi's mask was, you know, modeled after the mask in the show.
Yeah, and then you know, Kota Ibushi, you know, suggested highly to the person who is Tiger Mask W that maybe that they should see a little better out of the mask.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, there's a yeah, I mean, there's definitely a direct legacy here, and I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. I mean, it seems to be pretty, you know, the idea of a tiger mask in Japanese professional wrestling almost seems, you know, synonymous at this point.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the go-to now. It's kind of like you got to keep the tradition at this point, almost. That's
right.
You know, with what started.
I mean, like I said, it really has kind of outlived the cartoon. You know, much like Jushin Liger's gimmick. You know, outlived the anime series. But you know, now they brought it back full circle with the launch of, you know, the Tiger Mask W anime, which, you know, New Japan has to be funding on some level, because they keep showing it on NJPW World, and it has all these modern New Japan characters. So, I mean, it was just kind of one of those things. But that's
have not watched one episode of it. You know, yeah, I'm not a guy, like an anime guy, honestly. So it's just like, it just kind of doesn't appeal to me too much, but
right.
I appreciate like what they're doing. Like, and I think it's kind of a neat little tie in though. I think it's pretty cool what they're doing with it.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, fair enough. I mean, I watched it up until about the fourth episode, because I just thought it was so hokey. But, you know, some of our other associates, Strong Style Story associates, are big fans of the show. So, you know, it takes all types in this biz. So, yeah, I think we succeeded. The complete history of Tiger Mask in 60 minutes or less, and looks like we're going to be siding pretty purely on the less side of things. So that's all I really have to say on that subject. Lawrence, do you have anything to add? Or
I don't know. I just really, it's just Tiger Mask is just an interesting lineage. You know, it's so like they're all the guys that really portrayed it are just really, really great workers. That, I mean, well, you know, besides Minoamin, but I mean, we don't really count that one anyway, but you know, everybody, all the guys were just really good in their own certain type of way. And they, you know, they added their different flair to the gimmick. You know, yeah, maybe Kanemoto didn't quite exactly pan out as it, but still the guy ended up being like one of the best juniors ever in the business. And yes. I mean, and it's like he grew from that experience, and he became a better wrestler because of it. And you know, same thing with Misawa. Sayama, you know, ended up being a pioneer in multiple ways, not more ways than one, really, of not only, you know, the junior style and really pioneering that, but pioneering and using it elsewhere, but really pioneering like MMA and being one of those guys that helped like establish it.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's just interesting to me. And Yamazaki, you know, he's just another really good worker that just kind of, unfortunately, kind of worn down as of late. But you know, he's just the longevity. He's just been doing it for a long time.
Yeah,
so
it's going to be interesting how history is going to write Yamazaki's story.
It's just never really, he kind of came in during a time where, honestly, the Tiger Mask anime had probably been quite forgotten by a lot of people, and just, you know, and business was down for all forms of wrestling, when he really got going, I should say. You know, when he started it, the business was still good, but when he really found his footing, you know, the business was starting to really take a tumble at that time. So yeah, it will be interesting to see over the years, you know, because you know, you still see a lot of his like good New Japan stuff is just completely forgotten by like a lot of people.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, sometimes the instantaneous culture we live in now, we do tend to sometimes forget about things like that, which of course is why we, you know, do shows like this to remind
you. I know a lot of people, you know, that have heard the stories about that time period in New Japan, where, you know, kind of the post Inoki period there. They kind of don't touch it really because they hear all the stories about it and they just don't really go back and look at that stuff. And there's some actually really fun stuff around that time. It's just you have to kind of look through it and find it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, no, I mean, no period is ever all bad. No period is ever all great either. So, I mean, for we could make the argument that for a lot of, you know, the way that we, you know, glorify, you know, the Four Pillars of Heaven era of All Japan Pro Wrestling, there was a lot of crapola down in the undercards too. You know, you could always, you know, for, you know, just because something is true does not mean something else cannot also be true. So. But that, again, it'll be interesting to see how the legacy of Tiger Mask for Yoshihiro Yamazaki will be written in the end. But as of right now, we have not one but two Tiger Masks out there. So the gimmick was
that's a first.
The gimmick was seen to be as alive as ever.
It's a first too. It's like, you know, we didn't really talk about that. Like, that's the first time that's ever happened. I mean, yeah, there were some unofficial, you know, guys hanging around out there, but that didn't count. You know, this is like officially endorsed, and like you have legit two Tiger Masks.
In
the same place. You know, it's just pretty wild. Like,
yeah, the one endorsed by Sayama and the one that's officially licensed from, you know, the anime production at the same time. It's kind of a weird dichotomy there.
Yeah, you know, I wonder what Sayama thinks about it. Like, I definitely would like to hear like comments from him on this whole thing. And like,
we'd like to know what Iki Kajiwara thinks about it, but unfortunately, he died in like 1980. Let me get his date of passing. Yeah, he died on January 21st, 1987. So he's been gone 30 years. So
yeah, right.
But I mean, he would have been around when Sayama and actually Misawa too, were Tiger Masks. So, you know. But that's just, you know, kind of how things go. And Iki Kajiwara is another interesting topic that we've talked about on the Strong Style Story Show. I believe that was episode 19 that we discussed that. No, it was either 19 or 18, one of the two, that we discussed Iki Kajiwara and the legacy that he left. So. So go ahead and you can check that out at strongstylestory.podomatic.com or on iTunes at Strong Style Story Podcast. Lawrence, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think that's it. Like I said, it was just, you know, it's a very interesting lineage with some real ups and downs and some really weird twists and turns along the way as well.
Definitely. And we're once again grateful to Place to Be Nation and the Pro Wrestling Only podcast feed to give us the forum with which to talk about these sort of historical interests. So we'll be back next month. We don't know the topic yet, but we usually have one by the time we record. So we'll be sure to make it interesting after this one. So Lawrence, do you have anything you'd like to plug or say hi to or?
Not really. Just follow me on Twitter at LOB_3. I'm like private right at the moment, but I have my professional reasons for that. So send me a follow request. I will most likely accept it. So that's about it.
And you can follow me at Strong Style Story without the E in style. Our producer today was Chris DeMassino. We'd also like to say hi to our pals JB Rowe and Steve Cash on this broadcast today. Thanks for listening to episode 4 of the Strong Style History Show. We'll be back in April with more historical New Japan Pro Wrestling for you. On behalf of myself and Lawrence O'Brien, thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye.